Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday morning service. And it's good to be back with you all online. And yesterday was Uncle Paul's first death anniversary, and we remember Auntie Subhadra and her family in our prayers. And yesterday was Pastor Benny's birthday. So one gentleman is in heaven and one gentleman is enjoying heaven on earth. Yeah. So hopefully lockdown will open up tomorrow on Monday and with restrictions. And what are one of the things we see that God has done through this? And one of the things when I think about the subject of social isolation is God has proven to us that man is not an island. Man was never designed to live alone. When God said, it is not good for man to be alone. We can see this, you know. For the first 4 weeks in our building, no child was down. After the first announcement, people lost their patience. Now all the children are playing together. And this is, what is God saying? That we need each other. This is a principle of the body of Christ. We need each other. And God is showing through the whole world, through the subject of social distancing, is that we need relationships. We were designed for relationships. We need each other. And so today I would like to speak on this subject. Love one another as I have loved you. And let's turn to John chapter 15. And we'll read from verses 12 to verse 17. John chapter 15, verses 12 to 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for your love for us, Lord. Your love in which you sent your Son Jesus to die on a cross for our sins, so that we could be forgiven of our sins and we could be made your sons and daughters. Speak to us richly, Lord, now this morning, and minister to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to continue with the thought which I did on Wednesday. On Wednesday, I spoke on the inner life or the personal relationship with the living God, which is in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. And now we will continue with this thought. And this is like the second part of that thought, where from verse 12 to 17 now is the next segment where Jesus is speaking about me and the body of Christ. So in the first segment, in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11, it is me and God, or God and me. But in this segment now, from verses 12 to 17, it talks about me and the body of Christ. Now, in our first point, we see is now the Lord Jesus gives the command to love. So the first point is the command to love. Now, the command to love is just not given in John 15, but it begins in this discourse, which is one discourse from John 13 to 16, the last discourse of Jesus before going to the cross. It's seen in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, where it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So here the new command is given. And it is talking about a new commandment, not only in terms of its newness, but also in terms of its relevance to the new dispensation of the age of grace. And when we come to John chapter 15, again, he says this in verse 12, This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And it's also there in verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. And we need to focus on the phrase, the second phrase, as I have loved you. That's a very important point when Jesus makes. When he gives the command to love, he's giving a reference point. And that reference point is, as I have loved you. And when we look at these verses in John 15, he says in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And he's talking about how great this love can be, which is God's love, that one would actually give up his life for his friends. And this he's talking about himself, because in the near future, he is going to give up his life for them on the cross. And then he goes on to call them his friends in verse 14. And then he says, no longer do I call you servants or slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. For I call you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And then in verse 16, he talks about this aspect of that we did not choose him, but he chose us to bear fruit. Our fruit would remain. And there's also that aspect of prayer, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And then he goes on to say, these things I command you, that you love one another. So the first command, or the first point of our message today, is that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciples the command to love one another. That was there in John chapter 13, 34, 35, John chapter 15, verse 12, and John chapter 15, verse 17, as I have loved you, as I have loved you. Now, in our second point, we are going to see, and this is what we are going to see, is the character of that love. You know, we hear the word love many times in human relationships and in the world. But what is the definition, or what is the character of that love which God is talking about? And that is revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's turn there for a moment. 1 Corinthians 13. When you look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we see it is placed between two chapters, that is 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. And 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 to 31 talks about the body of Christ. And then in chapter 13 is the whole passage on love. And then chapter 14 is how the gifts need to be exercised in the body of Christ. So we see here, and we'll read from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So Paul talks about the gifts, Paul talks about the body of Christ, and then he's saying, I'm going to show you a more excellent, or more, the word excellent is beyond, above and beyond way. And what is that way? That way is shown to us in 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about love. And this love is the word agape, A-G-A-P-E in the Greek. It is the love of God, the agape love of God. The King James uses the word charity, but it should be read as love. So when we go to 1 Corinthians 13, it begins with this. And we'll read from verse 1 to 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. So in these three verses, Paul is saying, let's assume an individual believer has these spiritual gifts. For example, the first one is speaking in tongues. Let's say he speaks in tongues, different languages, even maybe a language of an angel. But if we have not love, you see this phrase, have not love, in these three verses, have not love. Although I have the gift of prophecy to foretell the future or to foretell the word of God, I understand all mysteries. I understand all knowledge. I have faith where I can remove mountains, but I don't have this love. I am nothing. And though I sell everything and I give to the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So the phrase we need to focus here in this second point on the character of love is Paul is saying, have not love, which means the individual is exercising his or her gift in the body of Christ, but does not have that love. And what does it mean? It mean for God, it means that is nothing. Then in verses 4 to 7, it defines the character of that love. And it says this, verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So when we look at these three verses or four verses from 4 to 7, it defines to us the character of love, and it defines to us what love is. And Pastor Shala had done this a long time back, but I'd like to also repeat it. It defines to us in two ways the character of love. In this list we see, it tells us what love is, that is the agape love of God, and it also tells us what love is not. So when you take anything in life and you compare it to this list, then you will be able to clearly discern and distinguish whether that is really the agape love of God or not. So let's look at what love is, what the agape love of God is. Now, here it is talking about the individual believer exhibiting this love to other believers. But if you look at it in its essence, it is actually a description of the nature and character of the love of God himself. Right? So this is what it is saying in verse 4. And that is, we will look at a list of what love is. The first point, it says that love suffers long. That's the first point. And the second thing is, it is kind. Love is kind. Then we go to the verse 6, the B part. Love rejoices in the truth. And then we go to verse 7, the fourth one, it bears all things. The fifth one, it believes all things. The sixth one, it hopes all things. And the seventh one, it endures all things. So this is what love is. Seven positive things. What is it? Love suffers long. And that word is the Greek word makrothumeo. And it is talking about a long suffering with respect to people. That means this kind of love is very patient with people. Then love is kind. And this talks about, the Greek word talks about being useful or benevolent. Being useful or benevolent. Just like in the lockdown, some of you have helped the poor with groceries. And there have been many people also in our society in Bangalore who have done it. That is that kindness. It is benevolent. Then we see love rejoices in the truth. That means love finds joy in that which is true. And we know that the Bible is the truth. Then the fourth thing, love bears all things. And it is talking about it's like a roof, like to roof over or to bear with silence. Bears all things. It believes all things. It believes the best for people. It hopes all things. Hopes for the best for people. And it endures all things. The word endures is the word hypomone. And it talks about in adverse situations of life, this love endures those adverse situations. And these are the seven positive qualities of love. So firstly, love is long suffering towards people. Love is kind towards people. Love rejoices in the truth amongst human relationships. Love bears with people. It bears all things. It believes the best for all people, hopes the best for all people, and endures all situations. In every situation, endures it with people. Endures it. And that is the positive aspect of the love of God. And when we come to the negative aspect, we see there are eight qualities, what love is not, what the agape love of God is not. And that's there here in verse 4, the second part. Love does not envy. That's one. Love does not parade itself or does not boast. It's two. Is not puffed up or it is not inflated with pride. That's three. All those three are in verse 4. Then in verse 5, does not behave rudely. That's the fourth one. Does not seek its own. That's the fifth one. And the sixth one is not provoked or not easily provoked. The seventh one is thinks no evil. And the eighth one is the verse 6, the A part, does not rejoice in iniquity. So what love is not? So let's say I envy somebody. And I come to this list, and then it clearly reveals that then that is not the agape love of God. Or let's say I'm a boastful person, right? I'm always boasting about what I have or what I have accomplished. Then the Bible is saying that is not the love of agape love of God. Or maybe I'm a person who's inflated with pride. I'm extremely proud as an individual. Then the Bible is saying that is not the agape love of God. Then I behave rudely or I behave in an unbecoming manner with people. That is not the love of God. Or am I'm always seeking my own, my self-centered desires. Then that is not the love of God. I get easily provoked. I get easily offended. Then that is not the love of God. Thinks no evil. And this is talking about the word logizomai. Thinking in our mind against somebody, thinking evil against somebody, then that is not the love of God. And when we rejoice in iniquity or when something unjust happens to somebody or there's unrighteousness and we rejoice in that, the Bible is saying that is not the agape love of God. So as we have continuing in our message, what is the first point? The first point between me and the body of Christ is, the first point is, Jesus gave this command to love one another as he has loved us. The second point is, the character of that love is revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, the third point in our message is, the cause of that love. Now let's say, okay, God is talking about this aspect of loving one another in this way, this 1 Corinthians 13 love. What is the cause or what is the origin or where can I have that love or where can I get that love? And that is answered by John chapter 15, the first 11 verses in the I am the vine and you are the branches part, where it clearly says in this relationship we have with God, we are recipients of this love. So where it says in verse 15, verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you. So it is talking about this relationship. And in this relationship, we see the cause of that love, it is coming from the Lord himself. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So what do we see in this point on the cause of that love? We see two things. The first thing is, you know, when you read John chapter 13, we see, it says here, and it's a very beautiful verse. John chapter 13, where it says, the first part. Now, before the feast of the Passover, verse 1, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That's a beautiful verse. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the word end means unto the end goal. What does that mean? Like, does that mean that when Jesus was with his disciples, he loved them only when he was on the earth? It does mean that. Like the whole duration of his life, he loved them. But what does it mean? He loved them unto the end. This is what it means. He was going to do something for them. He was going to die on a cross. And he was going to be buried and risen again. And that love which he had for them would be sealed. Which means that love would be an everlasting love and an eternal love for them. Not just on the time period when he was on the earth, but right through their lives, he would be loving them. And right through eternity, he would be loving them. And he has not only loved his disciples, but the same love is now available to us. And that is the cause of that love. Now, when you go to John chapter 13, we see is a very interesting thing in the Greek tenses. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, he says this, and we can pay attention to that. He says this in John chapter 13, 34, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So the love one another is said twice. It's a command, and it is in the present imperative active. Right? And then it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So it is talking about two things. When he is talking about the command to love one another, he is commanding them, I command you, it's my command, to constantly love one another. It's imperative mood. It is a command. There's no choice. But when he says, if you have love one to another, it is present subjunctive active. Because present subjunctive active, what does it mean? It means continuous or repeated action. The subjunctive mood says that the action is subject to some condition. I'll give an example. Let's say I have a car and I have little petrol in it. And let's say I want to make a trip to Coimbatore. Let's say I tell Vijay Pentapilli here, let's go in my car to this trip to Coimbatore, but on one condition, that the first petrol station we find, let's fill up the petrol tank and then go. So what does this mean? I have a desire to go to Coimbatore, but it is subject to a certain condition. And that is, what is the condition? That we have to have the full petrol tank, then we can reach Coimbatore. So in the same way, this to have this agape love in us is subjunctive, means it is based on a certain presupposed condition. And what is that presupposed condition? That is explained in John chapter 15. So even when you come to John chapter 15, verse 12, and verse 15, chapter 15, verse 17, it is present subjunctive active. What does it mean? Okay, I want you to love one another, but it is subject to a particular condition. And what is that condition? That condition is from verses 1 to verse 11, abiding in the vine. That means God is the first cause of love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son to die on the cross. And not only that, in Romans 5:5, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. So all of us born again Christians, we all have that agape love in us. But for that love to be manifested through us, there needs to be this process, this inner life, this personal relationship, this communing with God on a daily basis, this mind renewal in Romans chapter 8 verse 6, the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. This mind renewal. And when this mind renewal happens, when my heart is connected to God and I'm receiving from him, who is the first cause of this love, what happens? He gives me that agape love and he fills me. And in Psalm 23, what does the Bible say? My cup runs over. That love, his love satisfies me. And now you and I, we are in that place to love others with the same agape love which is poured out in our hearts on a daily basis. It has already been poured out once in Romans 5:5. It is in our possession, but I'm saying with respect to its supply and its manifestation, this is what happens. And we receive from him and we are able to give it out to others. So there are two aspects to that love. What is 1 Corinthians 13, 1, 2, 3 saying? Have agape love. And then what is the rest saying? Love one another. You have to first have it before you can love. You cannot love one another without having that love, right? And so that is what is important. So who's the cause of that love? It is the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. And this is very important. Sometimes you and I may be in a situation where we are not able to love others in this way, in an agape love. You know, in Matthew 5, it says, we are able to love in terms of natural love, where it says here, in Matthew 5:46, but for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than the others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? This is talking about human love, of human love, where we are in a place where we are able to love somebody when they love us back. But this is not talking about that love. This is talking about God's agape love. It's an unconditional love. It is not a love which is a response to somebody else, but it is a love which God has shown to me, and I'm responding to him, and he fills me with it, and I give it to others. And what happens when I'm not able to love others in that same way? What happens when I'm constantly envious, when I'm constantly thinking evil, when I'm constantly boasting, or I'm proud, or rejoicing in iniquity? What happens? It's very simple. We just come back to the wine. You know, this has been one of the hottest months I've faced. And what is the most common thing we do? We go under the shower and just put the cold water on, and we just like to stand under the shower for hours and hours, right? The cold water falling on us, it cools us off. And this is what we need to do when that manifestation is not happening to you. There's no condemnation. You just go back to the vine. We just go back to that relationship. We just go back to God, sit before God, silence ourselves before him and ask him, Lord, please do something in my heart. I want to receive this love from you, right? And you know what? And be still there, because he is the one who gives us this love, and he is the one who fills us with this love. And then I'm in a place where I can give it to others. So that's the third point. In our fourth point, we see what are the consequences of loving? Okay, God is telling us to love one another in this agape love, which is unconditional, which is sacrificial, which is not self-centered. Okay, what is the consequence? This is what the Lord said. By this, in John 13:34, shall all men, the men is not there in the Greek, shall all men, all the world know that you are my disciples. See, when we share this agape love with one another, what is the consequence? There is people, unsaved people will know that we are his disciples. Why? Because the quality and the character of this love is very different from the love which is shown in the world. In the world, the love is conditional. The love is need-based. The love is self-centered. But in the church and in the body of Christ, the love is unconditional, the love is sacrificial, and the love is not self-centered, but it is, God-centered. That's the love, because it brings glory to God. And the consequences of that loving is what happens. Everybody in the world knows that we are his disciples. You know, One of the things many people have said to me is this: oh, we are not able to share the gospel and we are not able to give tracts. That's okay. You know, there's another way by which, God shows the world who we really are. And that is the main way. And what is that main way? By the way we love one another in the body of Christ and in the church and in our families back at home. By looking at that, that is a great witness to the gospel and what the world and people will know that what? That we are his disciples. So that's the fourth point, the consequence of that loving. And what else happens when that love happens in the body of Christ? You know, when that love happens in the body of Christ, we stop focusing on our gifts. Because 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about people in the Corinthian church who were exercising their gifts, but they were exercising it in such a way where they wanted to bring attention to themselves. They wanted to get glory for themselves, right? And they didn't want to give the glory unto God. And so when we operate in this love, we will never focus on our spiritual gifts. Yes, I may have a gift, but I want to use it for the glory of God. I want to first make sure that I have this agape love in me experientially, and I'm able to minister this gift through this agape love. Then it makes a difference unto others. So that is the consequence of loving. And when you come to 1 Corinthians, we see 13, it is talking about the sequence, chronology of the gifts, where in 1 Corinthians 13:8 it says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And wherever there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And it is saying that the spiritual gifts were there for a time period, but a time period would come where the gifts would no longer be required because the Bible would become completely written and would be completely revealed. And so those gifts were giving partial truth, but then the perfect truth would come when the whole Bible would be written. And today we have that whole Bible in our hands. But as an application of this is this, that in the lockdown, you and I, we have realized that, you know, we may have a gift, but it doesn't matter because we are not able to use it. And so we come back to the basic. What is the basic? Is the fundamental that it's a personal relationship with God. God loves me and I can have this love in my heart. And I can also share it with the ones who are around me. It is not about my gift. It is about the agape love of God. And the consequences of that is this. You and I, we will have a loving family. You and I, we will have loving friendships and relationships in the body of Christ. You and I will be able to love a lost and dying world. To love them despite their sin. To love people. Not to love people's sin, but to love people as they are, no matter what they do, because God has given us this agape love. And because God has put this love in our hearts, we are able to share the gospel. And we have a desire for a lost world, because this is something which the Holy Spirit does in us. And the fifth point, what is the cycle of love? You know, there is a cycle. You know, it. And I want to read this verse. There is a cycle in Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And it is talking about like a closing thought on this whole Romans chapter 9, 10 and 11, which talks about the election of Israel. And Paul is saying, for of him, so coming out of him, ek, coming out of him, through him, dia, and to him, ice, are all things. That means it begins with God, it is through God, and it ends with God. That is the cycle of love. So this cycle of love one another as I have loved you, where did it begin? It began with God. First, Jesus loved us, right? In 1 John 4:8, 1 John 4:19, not that we loved God, but he loved us first. So he sent his son Jesus to die for us. When we got saved through the Holy Spirit in Romans 5:5, we received this love. Now we understand this love. God defines this love. And now we are able to receive it. And now we are able to share it. Right? And what happens? There is a growth which happens in the body of Christ. There is people get added to the body of Christ. People get saved. And who gets the glory? The cycle of love. God gets the glory. So one of the things we are always doing in church is we are always praising God. We are worshiping God. We are thanking God through the songs, through our prayers. Why do we do this all the time? Because we are convinced and we are grateful that all that we have in our lives, it is not out of us. It is has come from the Lord. It is in us. It is being manifested through us for the benefit of others, and it redounds back to Him through thanksgiving. That's there in 2 Corinthians 9, where it redounds back to Him, and the Lord Jesus gets the glory for all things, and that is the cycle of love. So in closing today, this is so encouraging. This is so encouraging. And I just want to close with this. In 1 Corinthians 12:31. The agape love is the more excellent way. In 1 Corinthians 13:8, the A part, love will never fail, right? Then in 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abide faith, which is faith in God, hope about the future, which God has promised, and love, which is this attitude with God. But the greatest of these is love. And 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, pursue love and desire spirit. Pursue love, present imperative active. Constantly go after love. So the agape love of God is the more excellent way. The agape love of God will never fail. Other things may fail and stop. Prophecies, tongues, knowledge will stop. But the agape love of God will never fail. What else? The agape love of God is the greatest. And what do we do? We pursue love on a daily basis. So in conclusion today, let's be encouraged. It is very important to consider this, that perhaps you're a believer today and you are not gifted in any way. You may not be a pastor or a preacher or a teacher or a great singer or a worship leader, or you may not have these spiritual gifts. The Bible says everyone has a gift, but you may seemingly think you don't have it. It's okay. It's okay. If you and I have this love in our hearts, that is the main thing. And that is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. He's talking in context of the spiritual gifts being like temporary, like childish, to get us to the maturity, to adulthood. And what is the adulthood thing? To have this agape love and to love one another fervently as Christ has loved us. Now, on a difficult day or in a difficult moment in your life and in my life, always go back to that point. Bring to your mind that subject of how God loved you on the cross, how Jesus loved you on the cross. Imagine it. Think about it. Think about the day you got saved. Come back to the wine. Come back to that shower and let Him shower you with His unconditional love. And you will be in a place where you will be able to love Him back. You will be able to love yourself as God loves you. And you will be able to love the body of Christ as Christ loves them. And you will also be able to love a lost and a dying world. And God will give you a heart to minister to them by preaching the gospel to them. Let's pray. Father, we really want to thank you, Lord, for this morning. Give us this love, Lord. Yes, we already have it, but experientially, Father, help us to live in it. Help us to be convinced about it, to be persuaded about it, to have this agape love in us. This love towards our wives, towards our children, towards brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, in our church here, towards brothers and sisters, to the international body of Christ, and also to a lost and a dying world. Give us this love, Lord. Help us to look at one another with this love, to have it in our hearts, and to actively love one another as you have loved us. We thank you. We worship you. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.